sometimes my emotions can get the better of me, or something may happen, but God is always faithful. And he's always patient with me. And he's always there to help me move on. God is patient. He's also unwilling to allow you to be an idiot if you come to him. You know, when you come to God and you're like, hey, I need you. Sometimes if it were me, I'd be like, finally, you idiot, you know. But he is very patient, loving, and caring. But he's unwilling for us to stay there. And his willingness to always help us move forward and move on is always such a blessing to me. And I would just encourage you, always be thankful for that. Always remind yourself of who he is. Amen? We're going to do something a little different today. I'm going to give the microphone to whoever. If you have a testimony that you'd like to share today of what God has done, this could be, obviously we had Jim Hockaday here not too long ago, and that was an incredible service. And we had an incredible men's ministry night about 3 weeks ago now with Mike Felder spoke. It was awesome. Mitchell Waddle spoke. It was a great night. And I heard a lot of really cool testimonies from that, too. So if anybody wants to share from that. But also, this could be just anything in your life. But I think that there's an encouragement that can happen when we hear each other speak, because it reminds us that we are the church is a body, right? And part of coming on a Sunday morning is to celebrate all that he has done. If church becomes a place where we just fill a seat and warm it up, or to get something for ourselves, ultimately, as we mature in our Christianity, we should recognize and see that it's a space where we can come, that we can bring glory and thanksgiving to our Heavenly Father and celebrate all that he's done. And for the believer, you know, the Bible speaks of, the New Testament speaks of, that stirs up one another. And there's something powerful in that to then, as it stirs us up, to take it out into the world. Because if our Christianity just lives in here or in these four walls, that's not advancing the kingdom of God, right? And so if you've got a testimony, come on up, if that's you. Some of you maybe weren't prepared. I told our volunteers today, at the morning, if you've got something, you know, be prepared for that. They can prime the pump, all right? You know, because if you ever sometimes, like, one person's like, whoa, come on up, Luke, if you want to come on. And Luke, actually, I don't know, are you going to share the testimony that you told me? Yeah, all right, double. You get two for one, all right? So I know one of them, but yeah, here you go. You got to turn that on. So yeah, well, you go ahead. This is Luke, if you didn't know.
Hey, everyone. this morning he said to keep it at under 20, so I'll shoot for 19 minutes.
I did. I did say that.
I'm very long-winded, as Brandon knows. So I'm going to try to solidify this really quick. Last weekend was obviously 4th of July. You know, God bless what... bless what God is doing in our country. But my parents got to come. And if y'all don't know, or probably do know, my mom's been battling cancer. The devil had a plan for her that did not succeed. Amen. So she was here to celebrate Paxton, our one-year-old's birthday. She and my dad were also here for the dedication of Paxton, which was incredible. So really thankful for that. That's the short one.
Yeah.
And then that Sunday morning, my mom leaned over to me and her sister passed away. And so that was kind of hard to deal with, but she also was in a really good place because she was here. And I think it was meant for her to be here that Sunday morning. Long story short, they were trying to figure out what to do with her funeral, how to get there. They didn't know she physically could do it because she still is having some health challenges with her going through chemo and stuff. But she got the approval. Well, somebody offered to pay not only for her room, but her flight to get there to see her sister.
That's awesome.
She gets to the airport, delay after delay after delay. Am I supposed to say something else? Oh, yeah.
That's true.
Going from Oklahoma to Louisiana.
And where are the delays?
The delays were in DFW. Pastor Mercedes, if you're watching, you're correct. DFW is terrible. Delay after delay after delay. It got to midnight, and they're like, hey, it's not going to happen. Her funeral was at 11 o'clock the next morning. So talked to my mom. She got up to the line, and Cassandra and I just prayed like that she's going to have favor. Whatever it is, she's going to have favor. Well, what we didn't know is the people behind her heard her story as she's telling it to the concierge. Well, they happened to be going to Louisiana to see their daughter, and they're getting a rental car. They told my mom to come with them, and they charged her zero. They drove all night to get to Louisiana, and she was there in time. She didn't have her clothes. Her clothes were still stuck at the airport with all of her medicine and stuff, but God worked it out. She got a beautiful outfit. She was there to see her great nieces and nephews that she hadn't seen. She got to be there with her sister's husband, to be there for support. So I just praise God for that. Yeah. Was incredible. Shouldn't have happened. You know, I told Brandon, I said, this is something I see in movies. Like, I see it in, like, Home Alone or, like, Cool Running, something like that, where it's
exactly
like,
first thing I thought of.
Oh, yeah, let us give you a ride. Nobody does that.
But, you know, thankfully, it wasn't a U-Haul and
U-Haul.
A bunch of guys playing, like, weird music
that
the whole time.
That would have been really terrible.
Or what's John Candy? No offense, John Candy, but thank God it wasn't John Candy.
No, that, I mean, it would have been cool if it was John Candy, but just cherry on top. If you all don't know, my mom's an EMT. Well, the lady that was in there, she's a nurse at St. Jude.
Yeah.
So not only does my mom know what to do, you know, if there were difficulties, but she had a nurse in the car with her as well. So God had her and protected her the whole way there. She made it home this morning at 3 a.m. because it was a turnaround flight, so praise God.
Praise the Lord. Thanks, Luke. That is amazing. What, Cassandra? Yeah, there was also delays on a return flight. She made it. Praise the Lord. If you have a testimony, come on up. If anybody else, and yeah, Luke was telling me this. I was like, this keeps going on and on, and this is great. And yeah, Home Alone was the first thing that I thought about. Of course, you know, if you've never seen those movies, you might live under a rock, but it's okay. But that's what I thought of. I was like, what are the, and it just goes to show, you know, that when you put your faith in him, because it would be really easy, and I know your mom, if you know Luke's mom, she's a fighter, big time, and she's full of, come on up, Mr. Bill, she's full of faith, and, you know, when you put your faith over your circumstance, your fear, whatever, for one thing, it brings a lot of peace, right, over the situation. Come on up, Mr. Bill. But it also, it then empowers solutions to come your way in ways you probably never would have guessed. So that's awesome. This is Bill Gurman. He's awesome. If you don't know Bill, you should. He's been all over the world. He's arguably one of the most interesting men I have ever met. That's real. If you ever talk to him, you got to just know which questions to ask Mr. Bill to crack them open.
That's right.
But you'll find out some interesting stuff. It's pretty cool.
Right. And this is a little bit difficult to talk about because some of the stuff going on in my life I still don't know about. I'm almost 82 years old, and I've been a Christian for 55 years now. But I was in New York at a church. This was in 1990, so this has been a long time ago. And it's a church, the Spirit of God was really moving very, very strong. At the end of the service, some woman walked up to me and said, you were born with a broken heart. And I knew what I knew she was right, but I still didn't know what it was about. She disappeared. I never saw her. I don't know what it was she was even seeing in the spirit. But this has been something that I've been carrying all my life, and I've lived with fear all my life. And I somewhat knew where it was coming from because I was born in really bad circumstances. But at any rate, when Jim Hockaday was here, he walked over to me and he says, "I remember you." And he didn't say another word. He laid his hands on me and just spoke something. I don't know what. But whatever this was left me. So this is after all these years that is that fear and that emptiness is gone. And I just, I don't know how to say thank you to God, but one thing I can tell you, after all these years, he is faithful. And I'm still his little child. I thank God for it.
Praise the Lord.
Thanks for sharing that, Bill. Appreciate you.
That's awesome. Praise the Lord. Isn't that cool? Praise the Lord, Bill.
By the way,
that was pretty quick. That was a quick testimony. Anybody else got a testimony they want to share? Anybody else? Going once? Going twice? All right. Oh, my beautiful wife, Pastor Charity, who just entered her third trimester. Yes. So we won't rush her, all right? So we'll give her a chance to come down at her speed, all right? As she should. She is with child. So we celebrated our daughter Rosie turned 5 this week. So, yeah, it's pretty incredible.
Okay, hi, everyone. I'm so excited. My heart does not think I'm jogging right now, so that is a huge a testimony in itself. Yes. I'm so excited to see all of you. Hello. I've been up in the booth, and so I wasn't able to say hello during the meet and greet. So it's wonderful to see all your beautiful faces. And our online community, hi.
Hi.
We're so glad you're here. So I just wanted to quickly give a bit of a testimony of just what this baby has really meant. I know we've talked before about how we've been waiting for this baby for a long time, but before we were able to find out we were pregnant, we've been praying for this baby for 2.5 years, actually. And so it was not something that we were like super publicly from the mic that we were talking about necessarily, but I know many of you knew or asked or whatever else, but I just wanted to give a quick testimony. So whenever we had started praying for the baby, dates and times, we won't get caught up in all the semantics of all that because you're like, wait, why are you talking about April of 2023 or something? So I'm not going to go into that. But we had been praying for the baby for just a few months at that point, and Jim Hockaday came. And during that time, I just was having a really hard time emotionally, not just because of praying for the baby, but just I was walking through a really tough season. And so I just felt pretty broken, and I didn't really even, I know I've shared this before to some people during our pre-service prayer, but I just really didn't feel like I was really worthy of being a pastor. And I went up for prayer for a baby, and God, you know, kind of like, it was definitely one of those things where God showed up, and we knew the baby was going to be coming, but also he gave me so much healing in my heart. So that I could, it was kind of like I was walking in a pit, and he pulled me out. And it talks about that in the scripture. And I didn't really realize how common that was in the scripture until after I'd been pulled out. And so it was really amazing. And so God just did a huge work in my heart. And I was like, you know what? I love that God is doing this work. I can't wait for the baby to come, but I'm very excited for what is happening as well right now. And so I really believe that just having, because, you know, like when you go up for prayer, sometimes it's a little intimidating. I mean, even for me as a pastor, And so I don't know if anybody can relate, but sometimes it's like, don't look at me, please, you know? But I really feel like that moment of just being honest with God and just being willing to just be, I guess, real in that moment that I needed prayer and I needed a special touch from the Lord really opened up just such an amazing new season of life. And I think it affected not only who I am as my own personal self, but also as a pastor, as a wife, and as a mother. And it's been so great. So even though we waited for so long, it felt like, I was still seeing the Lord work and move and do things. And I was seeing miracles take place and Him speak to not only myself and to Brandon, but also to our daughter and to the people around us in this congregation. And it was it's just been such an amazing season. And, you know, we still would go up for prayer for the baby. And we knew that the baby was coming. The Lord told us. And we're not going to share the name until he's born. But we were told ahead of time that we were going to have a little baby boy. And we were told what his names were going to mean. And so we prayed about it, and we both got his first name on the same day during our separate quiet times. And so we talked on the phone because he had gone off in the morning pretty early to work. And so we were just kind of like, whenever he had kind of a chance to talk, we were talking on the phone, saying like, hey, how's your day? Good. How's yours? And we were talking about during our personal quiet times. And that's when we talked about like, hey, I think God gave me the name. Does this sound like the name? And yeah, it does. I got that name too. And so it was just a really amazing season. And we weren't even pregnant yet, which is crazy. Like we knew we were going to have a boy. We knew what his name is going to be. It was a matter of time waiting. And so we still kept coming up for prayer. And it's just been such an incredible season. And it's amazing to see how many people have been a part of this journey of prayer, how many people have just been just there for us and watching this unfold. And so we're really excited. And so, like Brandon said, I'm in my third trimester now. And yes, home stretch, see the finish line. It's going to be great. And so we're so excited. And it was such a funny moment to find out that we were pregnant. And I think for like the first entire trimester, it was a bit surreal and I was in a bit of shock. And people are like, oh my gosh, you're pregnant. I'm like, yeah, I am. And it was, and whenever I took the test, that I think it was in the evening, I looked at it and it said pregnant. And whenever I found out I was pregnant with Rosie, I had taken the test. I hadn't even gotten to the room to tell Brandon whenever he heard me very loudly say, oh my gosh. And so he knew immediately. But with this pregnancy, I just like looked at it and it said pregnant. And I was like, of course I am. I've just been waiting. And so it was really fun to be able to just be like, hey, ta-da, you know. And so it was really fun. And it's been a really great journey. So thank you all for your prayers, for being there for us. And even if you didn't know that we were waiting and you were just kind of like, I wonder if there's something going on in there, and you just kind of knew, thanks so much for not being weird about it. And so we appreciate you. And so we're really excited for this baby boy to come. And so I realize I've kind of shared a little bit about it in bits and pieces, but I haven't really shared the whole story. So I just really wanted to let you guys know and just, you know, you're a part of our family. And so we just appreciate you loving us, loving our daughter and now soon to be son. And it's just such a sweet season. And so for those of you who are just praying into something and believing for something, I just want to let you know that God sees you. Even if it's just the quiet of your own desires that you haven't shared with anyone, he sees those desires, he cares about you. And as you seek him and put the kingdom first, these things are added to you. And so I just want to encourage you that God's going to work it all out. And I've seen that happen in my own life over and over and over and over again. But it's so, so true. it's an amazing thing, and you know, it's kind of crazy to see our daughter turn 5 and a baby on the way, and you know, just experience all the different changes and transitions, which I know a lot of parents, grandparents can relate to that. But it's so special and so sweet. And so I just say to you, if you're praying for something or believing for something, I stand with you in prayer right now. I believe that your miracle is on the way. And God is so good. And he loves you more than anyone. And so I just want you to know, like, how loved and cherished you really are. So that's all I have. I love you guys.
Awesome. I told her, thank you for sharing that. I was not going to share that before she... You coming up, Rick? Let's go, dude. Let's go.
I know, Jim. This ought to be good. So what are you thinking up there?
I know.
So anyway, I could probably throw a couple of them out there. You know, we like to go fishing. We went up to North Dakota. It was a long ways up there. And every time we go, you know, we pray for protection on the road, whether it be animals, crashes, you know, because anything can happen. There's a lot of idiots out there. And to be honest, at times I'm one of them. And but anyway, so we waited up. We're getting ready for our trip home, and we're at Devil's Lake, North Dakota. It's a 600-mile drive, and I dread that drive back because we just power it out. It's 9.5 hours, and again, you know, we always pray that our angels there are watching us. Well, we were 5 miles into that ride home, and out of nowhere, 60 miles an hour, pulling a boat, here comes a deer blasting across. Didn't even see her till she's right there. And I'm pretty sure our angel booted that thing in the tail because I missed him by this far. Wow. And that was angelic protection right there. And I could also throw another one. So, you know, for quite a few years, we'd go fishing up at Okoboji. We'd go for 5 days right after Memorial Day. And we'd stay at a place called Cable's Bait Shop. They have an 8-plex there. So we got to know the owners. They were younger. Anyway, so the last time we were there up until this year was probably 5 years ago. And the young lady that owned the bait shop there with her husband, her name Tanya, anyway, she was struggling. She came out, and she's trying to work. Well, they were goofing around out on the lake in a four-wheeler and flipped that thing over on her and busted her leg bad. And this was 5 months later, and she still couldn't hardly walk. She was struggling. And throw on top of that, Satan throwing cancer at her. All of this at the same time. So we laid hands on her right away and prayed for her and continued to do so. Well, it was about 4 years that we didn't go up there. We went this year. And they had now sold the bait shop, but they lived right next door. So, you know, she's in and out, and we saw her. But it's kind of weird because we were praying for her. And when we were at the boat dock one day that week, I always try to talk to the people there because there once in a while you get some pretty good information. And somehow we got to talking about her with this guy, and he was actually a guide up there on the lakes. And we got to mentioning her, and she had mentioned, you know, that she had some struggles there. And said, well, yeah, we know, and we were praying for her and everything. And he says, well, we were too, you know. So, you know, prayer goes a long ways, and I will tell you, God's healing is alive and well. And prayer works because we saw her, and her leg is totally healed. Cancer is gone, and she is doing well. So just wanted to share that. Thank you.
Thanks, Rick. Thanks for sharing. Way to go, man. Proud of you, dude. We call each other dude. It's okay. All right. So we're friends. So anybody else have a testimony? Anybody else? Awesome. I love hearing testimonies because how many of you know that when you hear a testimony, there's some sort of bold faith attached to it? And it's scary to have bold faith, okay? And if you are in the middle of it right now or you're dealing with that right now, oh, Siri didn't get that. I must have said something that sounded like Siri. Yeah, you wouldn't. you're a robot. So anyway. But it takes bold faith a lot of times to see something that you're believing for come to fruition. And bold faith is usually scary because it means that you have to have faith in something that is well beyond your own means. And it's simpler to have faith that is within your means. But when you have to have faith that's beyond your means, when you put yourself out there, that is a scary thing. And, you know, the world will tell you, you know, you have a saying, don't burn your bridges with relationships. But when it comes to your faith, you've got to burn a lot of bridges behind you. And what I mean is you can't go back. You know, when you start stepping into faith, it's important to keep on pushing forward. And many times, in the form of ease, a bridge to go back is available. And I would just encourage you, if you feel like you're in that place right now in your life, to press on and to keep on moving forward. You can turn to Mark chapter 2. We're going to look at a scripture here as we close things down today. And I'm so glad that Charity shared that. There's more to this, to our testimony, that you'll hear in the coming months and years that only God can do. And I know that for me personally, now that she shared, I can share a few things from me as well. But we came to a place where we knew that the Holy Spirit was going to give us direction, and specifically, so this is personal, but I'm okay with sharing it, but it's personal. So this is my first time sharing it with publicly. But there was a moment where Charity knew that we were waiting on me. Now, as the man of our household and a spiritual leader of our household, that's not an easy thing to come face to face with that. And she was so gentle and gracious about it. She wasn't like, hey, man, what the heck are you doing? All right, praise the Lord. But I knew that there was something stirring in me. And I remember talking with her about it. And she said, you know, I think that, you know, God's going to reveal something to you. And when he does, I think that's going to be part of our breakthrough in this. And she wasn't saying, like, I'm waiting on you, pal. But right when she said that, the Holy Spirit was like, you know we're waiting on you, right, pal? You know what I mean? And that was a really sobering moment. And in that moment, all kinds of things can happen. And for me, there was some pride that really wanted to happen. And there was a lot of flesh that wanted to happen in that moment. But I recognized who God was. I'm not God. Okay? I can't do a miracle. There's no chance of that. But my God does miracles. And so as we submitted to that, as I submitted to that, it laid a foundation for miracle after miracle in our life. And to me, the greatest first miracle that happened was the peace that came over our household. And if anybody has dealt with trying to get pregnant in the process of all that, there generally is a lot of discord and not peace. And we experienced peace beyond, I cannot explain it to you, through a 2.5 year period. We just knew it was happening. If God promises something, it's going to happen. And if you're going through this right now, I know that one of the last things sometimes we wanted to hear was stuff like that. But I think what it did once we had crossed over was that we recognized that if God promised it, he's going to do it. And every testimony that we heard now became another bullet we could use against the enemy. And I mean, I know Charity could speak of this too, but the peace that we experience over our household, only God can do that. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. And we were cheerful. We were excited. And we weren't faking it. And there were definitely some moments of hard days or, you know, just frustrations that we had. But they were very minimal and they were very short. Because we were both going somewhere. We knew where we were going. And the Holy Spirit had promised it. And so what then happened was bold faith after bold faith. And when you take those steps of faith, they are kind of terrifying. Because when you take a step, if God doesn't come through, you're like, I'm going to look like a moron. Well, I can do that by myself. It's not that hard. Okay? And I just say this, and if at any time you hear me saying this, I'm like trying to like pat myself on the back. I'm not doing that at all. I want God to get the glory today, all right? Because what I want you to hear is the brokenness that I was and the fact that there was an amount of faith that God was, I believe the Holy Spirit was bringing me to, and he was just being patient because that's who he is. But he wanted to do what he did. And when we stepped into that, there was some steps that we had to take that were a little scary. You know, we got the baby's room ready before we ever found out that we were having a boy. And we decorated it with some boy things. And we got a boy name and a middle name. We actually got the definition first, the meaning first, and we knew that it was going to be a boy. And then we told a few people, not a lot of people, but we told a few people we knew it was, to pray and believe with us in that journey. You start telling people that kind of stuff. Now it's like rubber meets the road, right? And so now it's a really cool story, right? Because we can say, like, look at what God has done. But in the moment, it doesn't necessarily always feel like that. And I just want to remind you, because you might be in the middle of it, of that walk. God is still who he says he is. And a deeper revelation of who he is will change your point of view. And it changed my point of view. And so that's all I'm going to share about that today. If that encourages you, great. If it challenges you, good. If you're mad at me, come talk to me. Okay? Let's go to Mark 2. I love this scripture. It's about Jesus healing a paralyzed man. And it says in Mark chapter 2, verse 1, when Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors, there was no more room, even outside the door. While he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven." But some of the teachers of religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, "What is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive his sins." Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking, so he asked them, "Why do you question this in your heart? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or 'Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk?' So I'm going to prove to you I'm the Son of Man, that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, pick up your mat, go home." And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, walked out through the stunned onlookers. They were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, "We've never seen anything like this before." Praise the Lord. You could preach about 4,000 sermons off of this one passage in the Bible. And the biggest thing that I wanted to speak today that the Holy Spirit just brought to me is the crazy friends. And I love the crazy friends. I love these crazy four friends because that's exactly what they were. And I don't know all the ins and outs. We weren't there. But you can kind of think through the situation and how these four friends were crazy. Because when you bring a friend on a mat and you carry him to Jesus, that alone is a little crazy. Agreed? And when you get there and there's a crowd, I mean, let's just be real. A crowd that doesn't let friends bring in a paralyzed guy to Jesus, what kind of crowd is that? All right? It's not like a, oh, sorry, you can't come through. It's like there was a lot of expletives probably. All right? It was probably not a very pleasant crowd. There was probably a lot of negative things being said. I don't know what was being said, but it wasn't like this simple little crowd. They couldn't get in. And then they're even crazier. They're like, let's hatch a plan to get them on the roof and break open the roof. And look, that's insane. Like, that's like legitimately crazy. And they lower him down to the feet of Jesus. And I love this scripture because it's a beautiful picture to me. If you're a believer, if you're a Christian, this is a perfect picture of what we are to do for people. To me, this is a beautiful picture. And I don't know where the faith of the paralyzed man was, okay? I don't know if the faith of the paralyzed man was right with him or if it was zero. I don't actually know, all right? It doesn't actually tell us if the paralyzed man was like, yeah, let's do this, or if he was like, guys, stop. But he couldn't do anything because he was paralyzed. So like, sorry, man. I don't care what you say, you're doing this, all right? I don't know if he was fighting them the whole way while trying to. I don't know what was happening in that piece, but I do know about these four people that had crazy, like a crazy amount of faith for someone they were close to, that they loved, and they were willing, this is huge, they were willing to do whatever it took to get him to the feet of Jesus. And every time I read this, it hits me in a different way. It hits me in a deeper way because for me, that means that as a Christian, I have to look at myself and say, am I doing everything that I can do to get the people that I love, the people that don't know Jesus, the people that need Jesus, the people that are broken, the people that are sick, the people that are going through stuff, am I doing everything in my power to make sure they get before the feet of Jesus? And if I'm not, then how can I change that? What can I do to change? And for all of us as Christians, that means that we've got to do something. That means it requires some form of action. And so today as we hear our testimonies, I love that there's all of, in Charity, I didn't really get into it, there's a lot of other people that it has impacted. And I believe it'll impact people for a long time. But there's always more people impacted than just you when God shows up. You know, Rick and Joyce's testimony, you know, I love Rick. He's like, so we just prayed for her, you know? It's like, that's what you do when people are sick and they're broken and you love. It says Jesus, he would have compassion on people, you know? And it was this compassion that would move him to do things that were way out of the norm. And when you have compassion on people, move. And God will back you up. Bold faith is honored by God. It's scary to your flesh, okay? Your flesh will be like freaking out. But bold faith is honored by God. It's honored by the Holy Spirit and the seeds that you plant. And so I encourage you today, as we hear testimonies, I think probably everybody's testimony that was shared today like hits in a different way. Everybody's a little different, and everybody has different lives and different situations, but as you hear them all, it hits in a different way. But as we leave this place, as we celebrate what God has done, God wants to continue to move. Amen. He's not done. He's not like, well, chalked it up, like, that's how many miracles I got, you know. You know, we've got a certain quota, you know, that we're going to meet. And once we hit that quota, you know, we're done. That's not how God works. Praise the Lord. It's not. Sometimes it's how we think, but it's not how God thinks at all. And God is looking to use people to be his hands and his feet. And the places that you go, you know, Rick and Joyce aren't going to go. The places, you know, that Mike and Tiffany go, you know, Luke and Cassandra aren't going to go. You know, the places that, maybe if you're online, places that you're at right now, I'm not going to go. But you're there. Amen. Praise the Lord that you're there. You know, I love Luke's testimony of his mom, because those two people, man, they were just gifted to your mom just to be there and to do something that's crazy. He said that to me, literally the first thing that came out, that's insane. It's like, who does that? That's crazy. That's crazy. I'm like, that's crazy. And how many of us in our relationship with God, that's crazy. There's a lot of things that are crazy. That's what God does. And so as we look at this passage, we hear these testimonies, I just encourage you, you know, what's next for you? What are the things that God's calling you to do? Calling you to step out in. And as you do that, I know you're not alone. As you do that, you're not alone. Amen? Amen? Worship team, can you come up? They didn't know I was going to do this, so. Yeah, this is a new one. But we're just going to worship God for a little bit. You can stay as long as you want. We're going to formally dismiss here in a minute, okay? Which means you can leave. I'd encourage you, go get your kids and bring them upstairs if you're going to stick around. But we're gonna praise and worship just a little bit. And I would just encourage you during this time, I don't know what it is that you need, but God does. Praise the Lord. God knows exactly what you need, and God has a perfect next step for you in your life. And one of the best ways to get that revelation is to just be in his presence. Because at the end of the day, being in his presence is the place where revelation will come. So we're going to formally dismiss. If you're online, just worship with us, and it'll take us like 30 seconds or a minute to get set up. So you're just going to have to be patient.
Thanks again for joining us for the Liberty Church podcast. If you have prayer requests, you can always email those prayer requests at prayer@libertyofomaha.com. And we love to hear your praise reports. Email those at amen@libertyofomaha.com. For more information on Liberty Church, visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks so much for joining us, and have a great day.